Welcome to the third in our three-part series of How to Make Six Figures as an Expert Who Speaks. Today is how to get paid as a professional speaker. So today we are going to cover how to identify the organizations that are waiting to hire you, how to get yourself booked at the fees you are really worth, and Bert will introduce you to his triple play method of getting bookings. And he has a lot to share with you today, so I'm just going to turn it over to Bert. Bert, what can you tell us about how to get paid as a professional speaker?
Well, I'm glad you're asking the question, David. The first thing to understand is the nature of the speaker's market. There are local markets. There are regional markets. There are national markets. And there are international markets. Let me talk about each in turn. Local markets are generally low-pay markets. For example, I recall quite a few years ago, 15 or 20 years ago, I was doing a series of monthly educational seminars for the management team at Gardena Honda. Now, you wouldn't know who that is. Happened at the time, at least, to be the largest Honda agency in Southern California. Maybe they still are. I just don't know. Well, I think I was charging them at the time all of $1,000 or $1,200 for a full day. And I did one every month, and it took me half the month to prepare. So I considered myself dreadfully underpaid. They considered they were paying me too much, even though they had bundles of money. And so local markets in general are either no pay or low pay. I've never known of a local market that really would pay well. Regional markets, on the other hand, will pay a speaker, and when I say a speaker or trainer, for 1 to 3 hours, an average. My numbers can be way off because you never know exactly what it is till you get there. But let's say $1,200 to maybe $2,000, and you hardly can ever see over $2,000 from a regional market. Regional market would be, as an example, a convention market for just part of the country. For example, just the western United States, or just California, or just New York State. So that's the second of the speaker's markets, also very low pay, relatively low pay. And no matter how good you are, they just don't have the budget. Now let's get where the money is. The money is in national and international organizations. They will pay amazing amounts of money. One of my associates, Larry Wingate, does a 55-minute keynote, and he gets $18,000 every time. And he'll send you a recording of what he's going to do, and you know every word he's going to say. $18,000. Last year, I think he made $3.5 million. That's rare. Jeffrey Gittimer, some of you may know that name, does sales trainings for a half a day. I hope you're all sitting down. He gets $30,000, $50,000 for a full day. And he's as busy as he could possibly be. Now, these are unusual cases. Most of us don't make money up in that stratospheric level. However, that's the national level. And so when you want to be a major success in the speaking business, aim for the national or international level because the money is great. In fact, I must tell you, for people living in the United States and Canada, there might be more money in North American speeches and seminars, workshops, and breakout sessions than even overseas, because the money is here, and some overseas entities just won't pay that much money. So the idea is prepare yourself, and that's what I do with my clients, prepare my clients, as I did with you, David, am doing with you, to work on the national stage and get somewhere between $3,500 and $8,000 or $10,000 or more per program. And I've got clients doing that. I think, David, that I've pretty much responded to that question.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that local markets are free or low pay. If you have a local practice and you want to promote it, that might be a fine way to go as an expert who speaks. If you want to be paid, your regional markets will compensate you for $1,000 a day or so. But if you want to be successful as a professional speaker, be an expert who speaks and get $3,500 to $5,000 for your time of showing up and giving a talk, then the national markets are the way to go. So how do we identify the national markets? How do we identify the organizations in the national markets that might hire us?
I was hoping you would ask that question. And I hope everyone around has a pen or a pencil to make notes, because I'm going to give you phone numbers of sources of publications, directories. For example, the basic directory of the USA to reach trade and professional associations is made available from Columbia Books in Annapolis Junction, Maryland. Here is their 800 number, 888-265-0600. Now, the last time I checked what they charged for the National Trade and Professional Association directory, it was about $190. That's once a year. And you need it. There must be 7, 8, 10,000 national organizations. Now, that's national associations. Now, if you don't want to go all the way to the national level and you feel you need more local stuff or more regional stuff, the same entity, Columbia Books, published the state and regional directories, and they break this down in different parts of the country. Now, I haven't actually priced this one in quite a few years. I only used it once ever in the early 1980s, and it's somewhere in the realm of $150, more or less. And again, the same phone number, 888-265-0600. Now then we have the corporate market, national corporations. They will pay more than any other market, and they have meetings, and you can find them by calling Douglas Publications. I'll give you a phone number there. Douglas Publications publishes the National Directory of Corporate Meetings, and that phone number is 800-223-1797. That directory comes in two different versions. You can get it in a printed version. You can get it in a CD version. I very much recommend the CD version, because with a CD version, you can sort. Now, I'll tell you what I mean by being able to sort. You can, for example, pick a particular industry that you wish to speak for. You can pick a particular part of the country in which you wish to speak, a particular city, a particular state. You can pick a certain month. Say you want all the conventions, we'll make up a date, in March of 2006. You can hit that and sort out all the March convention. So you can sort in so many different ways, so you target exactly the entities that you want to speak to. Now, oh, and by the way, if you should call Douglas Publication, ask for Marcus Walton. He is at extension 210. And mention my name. I'm very serious when I say this. Just mention my name and Marcus will give you 25 or 30% off. So make use of that. Now, there are other ways to find places to speak, and here are two that are, that will cost you absolutely nothing. The Las Vegas and San Antonio Convention Bureaus will give you all of their inbound conventions for the next 2 years. These are subsidized by the Chamber of Commerce of the respective cities. And Las Vegas is one of the great convention and conference cities of the world, as is San Antonio. I've spoken in both places, well, dozens of times. If you want the San Antonio directory of all the inbound conventions for the next 2 years, you call the following 800 number. It's 800-447-3372. That was 800-447-3372. If you want the Las Vegas schedule, also no cost, they will not respond to a phone call. You must write them. And this is the address. Las Vegas Convention Bureau. Attention, convention schedule. 3150 Paradise Road, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. That gives you the basic resources for venues to speak, especially the ones I mentioned most recently, that will pay you substantial money if you are good. And perhaps you'd like to have a definition of what good is. Good means delivering substance, delivering true value, offering a modicum of entertainment. People don't want to be bored to death, so to speak, sitting there. And a bit of humor. A bit of humor which you can usually find right from your own life. I think I've covered that fairly well, Dave.
Bert, just one thing to add. You asked me to check out the San Francisco Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yes.
And I did. And I also checked out the San Jose Convention and Visitors Bureau, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that all the meetings are available online.
Really?
There are links on those websites that. You just click on those links, and they show a meeting schedule of the conventions and trade shows and all the stuff coming into town for months out. And it's free for anybody surfing the Internet. So I think the conventions and visitors bureaus are getting into the Internet age, so it's quite possible that whatever town you're in or near or want to go to, check out the website, and you might be able to get this information.
That's a wonderful idea, David.
So we talked about, you want to make money, a good living as a professional speaker. You want to get paid handsomely. Well, first, you better be good, you know. So you better know what you're doing, know what you're talking about, have some speaking skills, and go on the national level. Target national organizations. We talked about how to identify them. Now comes the biggie, Bert, which is, okay, if we know who to target, how do we target them?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, David, because I developed a system. I developed something I call the triple play. In fact, to say it completely, I call it the triple play, that triple sales of your speaking training gigs. And let me tell you how it came about. Years ago, over 20 years ago, I was in the sales field. I never dreamed I'd be a speaker. And back in the days when I was in the sales field, one of the companies that I worked for taught me how to keep a record of, now keep in mind, this is selling, not speaking, how to keep a record of every hour that I worked, every sales call that I made, every decision maker that I reached, every presentation that I made, how many units of whatever it may have been at the time I sold, what the dollar volume was, and what I earned. And I was told by Ralph Hunt, who ran the company at the time, Ralph told me, Bert, if you really do this, if you really, really do this, you'll rise to be a champion. Well, let me tell you exactly what happened. I was an absolute tiger, or you might say a young Turk. I had two little boys at the time, my only two children, actually, and I had a fairly nice house, and I wanted to be a great success, and I took the bit in my teeth, and I kept relentless records. Nothing could stop me, absolutely nothing. And what happened was, I learned that my only competition was me. Me last week, me last month, me last year. In brief, using the technology that Ralph Hunt taught me, I became number one of 150 salespeople working out of an office in the Los Angeles area. When I came into speaking, I started to use the same technology with the following difference. I learned that decision makers who hire speakers don't really want to be sold. They're not interested in that, though they'll certainly allow you to talk for as long as they're patient with you. They want people who want to add value to their meeting. And so I developed, and this took me years and years to do this, and I put it all together. I developed, well, I'll start at the beginning. First of all, I decided I had to know how to manage my time. Secondly, I decided I had to know how to talk to the meeting planner. Thirdly, I had to know how to keep records of what I was doing. And I developed over the years, purely for my own use, David, three instruments. One called your time budget, meaning my time budget. Another called the first phone contact with meeting planner instrument. And the third one I named the speaking business success tool. So starting in the early 1980s, making a zillion mistakes, I promise you, any success I've enjoyed, and there has been major success, was built on the shards, on the fragments, on the debris of all the mistakes I made. So let me tell you a little bit about what I learned about time and how to get the most out of my time. What I did was, I bought, this is pre-internet days, we're going back to the early 80s, I bought every book there was on managing your time. And I, how shall I put this? I boiled down the essence of the message in these books, and I found out that there were three things I could do that would allow me to get the most out of the hours in the day. I could control my actions, I could plan my day, and I could evaluate my performance. And if I persisted relentlessly in doing those three things, I would get the most out of my time. For example, with the matter of controlling actions, I learned how important it is to abstain from all activities that don't give me a feeling of accomplishment or satisfaction. And I knew that I had to remember that all of my actions, whatever those actions may be, must reflect movement toward the achievement of at least one of my goals. Following that, still under the heading of controlling my actions, I learned that I need to set specific, measurable, and attainable objectives, and they had to be in writing, and I had to look at them every morning. I would actually put them on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator door, and even on the steering wheel of my car, because I was selling outside. Remember, this is before I was speaking. I simply took these techniques and moved them over to the speaking business when I became a speaker. Next point in controlling action, I learned I had to provide myself with a deadline for each task and not allow a task to be open-ended. Final point of controlling my actions, I learned I needed to delegate. For example, just to make up a scenario here, if your time is worth $50 an hour, you mustn't use it to do $5 an hour work. If you do, you're cheating yourself. Do only that which you alone can do. Now, that is a phrase you may well write down. Someone else said it. I didn't make that up. Do only that which you alone can do, and delegate everything else, or farm it out to some outsider. For example, I don't know how to maintain a website. However, I have two experts who do maintain my website, and I pay them, and they can do it much better than I and for less cost. That's the area of controlling actions. Now we come to the aspect of planning your day. The way I would plan my day would be in the evening before I retired. I would sit down with everything having to do with what the next day would bring to me, and I would make a list of all the things I want to accomplish the following day. Therefore, when I got up in the morning, and I'm an early riser, I'd be up by 6 or 6:30, I knew exactly what I was to do. Now I look at that list, and I would grade the list in terms of the importance of each item. Things that were essential would get the letter A. Things that were important but not essential would get the letter B. Things that would be nice to do would get the letter C. And so I would focus on the A items, and among the A items, I would focus on attaining specific results that would make the difference I wanted. I learned that I had to be ruthless. Yes, I had to ruthlessly set priorities so that the preponderance of my time is devoted, was at the time and now too, on key tasks and action. And I would do some of the B items if I could, and quite frankly, I rarely ever got to the C items. So the things I did were the things that made a difference, most of a difference. And my priorities would always be priorities having to do with my own goals. And in order not to be a total workaholic, I would include in my schedule two or three times a week, a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, for my personal interests. In my case, that meant going to the gym. I love to go to the gym and work out and possibly swim in the pool, possibly go to the steam room, and I'm refreshed and I feel better and I've done something nice for my body. So that was the second item in managing time, planning the day. And here is the third item, David. Evaluating performance is important. Immediately after an important interaction, to write down what worked and to write down what didn't work, and to include what I learned about improving my performance. And so I was constantly, through studious application, becoming better and better and better at what I was doing. And as I said earlier, 150 salespeople, I became the top one. I later became the sales manager, later the general manager, all based on that technique. And I learned further, one final point about evaluating my performance, I learned to give myself rewards. Rewards for getting what I wanted. Now that reward could be anything I wanted, a date with a special person, a nice dinner out, perhaps a new tie. Back in the days when men wore ties, you don't see many ties these days, except on the platform you do. And so I think I've pretty much summarized the time budget. Now, I developed out of that something that I called, and I still have and make these available to my clients, the Daily Action Guide. Something that allows me to plan the day before the day begins, to review my goals and plans, to visualize the results I wanted to attain, to prioritize what I was going to do, and then, of course, to take the action. Further, in regard to getting the most out of the day, I learned to do something called the Daily Action Review. And I made this up. I created it. I'll give you just some of the questions. Did I start this day with a sense of purpose and direction? It would be the evening of the day, every day. Did I engage only in activities that moved me toward clearly defined goals? Did I prioritize based on my objectives? Did I avoid procrastination? Did I delegate everything possible? Did I waste anyone else's time? Did I get any exercise? Did I eat wisely?
So those questions sound like, you know, being your own coach.
Absolutely. Make myself my own coach. And then, of course, here's the last one of that group. Did I end the day with a feeling of completion and satisfaction? Now, it's the use of various instruments that I developed that enabled me to move from obscurity to becoming quite a champion, both in sales and later in speaking. The techniques are the same. It's a matter of being diligent. It's a matter of having a sense of purpose. It's a matter of having principles and values and knowing what they are and living a life based upon those. And there's one more point, one final point I'd like to give you, having to do with the Daily Action Guide. I learned the importance of gratitude. Gratitude is so valuable. So at the end of each day, I would fill out a little form. I've got an instrument here with all of these things on it. Today I give thanks for, and if you ever have a day and you've got nothing to be thankful for, you better look in the mirror and say, what's wrong here? Then I learned further to acknowledge what didn't work, what did work, and what I learned about improving my performance. And so all of this put together, I know I'm giving it to you so fast, enabled me to get a high yield of value and accomplishment out of every day. And what I have just explained, David, represents one of the three pillars. Keep in mind, this is the triple play, that triple sales of your speaking training gigs. And this is one of the three pillars of that triple play.
So the first pillar is to prioritize and manage your time. I use the tools that you develop for that, Daily Action, the Action Planner. It's really invaluable to just help focus. Big wide world out there and thousands of possible organizations and people you can contact for speaking gigs. Where do you start? I think I'd rather take out the garbage right now than make a phone call. So,
yeah,
there's all sorts of ways you could procrastinate. So what's the second pillar?
The second pillar has to do with what you say when you get on the phone to a decision maker. Now, there's an assumption here. The assumption is that you already are good on your feet, that you know how to deliver substance, that you know how to include stories. Stories are such fun to include. People love when you stop to tell a story. They really perk up. And a bit of humor, just a bit. People like to laugh. And then that you know who to call and when to call. That means investing in those directories, because the directories give you lists of thousands of conferences and conventions. The directories will sometimes, depending on which directory you get, tell you how many speakers they hire, how many trainers they bring in. The directories tell you the date of the event, date or dates, usually it's a multi-day event, the venue, the budget for the entire event. And just by looking at that information that you can get from the convention and visitors bureaus or from the resources that sell the directories, you can have an idea of who is worth your calling. And then when you make the call, let me tell you what I developed. I developed something which I call take-it-away selling, or, if you will, reverse selling. And this is so powerful, David. In fact, it's the non-selling approach to getting bookings, and it's an approach that a few of my clients are using to generate as much as $500,000 a year. That's real money. I'm not making that number up. Some of these people will even talk to you on the phone, should you really want to ask them if you're sincerely interested. And so this is what I developed. I developed a way, let's call it a diagnostic approach. Instead of calling to sell my services, I would call to find out all the reasons why I would not be a good choice for that conference. Now, that may sound like the wrong way to go. I promise you it is not. So I would start out by calling the receptionist of the organization and saying, who makes the decisions on outside experts who speak for the meeting to be held on, and then I would name the dates of the meeting and the location of the meeting, so the receptionist would know, I know what I'm talking about. I know there's going to be a meeting, and it's going to be at this place, this date. So the receptionist would guide me to someone, not necessarily the right person. And I would say to that person, do you hire experts who speak to help add value to your meetings? Well, the answer is going to be yes or no. And also, we may find out that that's not the right person. The person you're speaking to might say, oh, you've got to talk to Gloria, or you've got to talk to Charlie. I would say, what's their extension? And I'd maybe get switched over. And I'd start the question again. Do you hire experts who charge a fee to speak to help add value to your meetings? Now, if they answer no, that ends the phone call. Whole idea being get off the phone. Because about 40% of associations and corporations only have their own internal expert, their own internal speakers. They don't bring in outside people. You want to know that in front. Why waste your time? Now, if you get a yes, then you say, about how many outside experts do you hire each year? If they should answer one or two, that tells you a very interesting fact. If they answer one, that means, David, they're going to hire an opening keynoter. If they answer two, they're going to hire a closing keynoter as well as an opening keynoter, and everybody else is going to speak free, either to promote themselves or because they're inside experts, whatever reason, they're not going to get paid. So if you are not a keynote speaker, and most of us are not, and you find they're only bringing in two experts who speak to do those two keynotes, get off the phone. Whole idea is shorten the conversation. Then you ask, let's say they're going to bring in 10 or 12 speakers. You say, well, I have a chance. Then you ask, who is making the decisions on speakers this year? And that person may give you a totally different name. May not be them at all. And so whoever it may be, you want to be talking to that person. And if necessary, you call again to get to that correct person. And you say to that person, with regard to their engaging of speakers for that meeting, please tell me, what is your selection criteria? And they always have selection criteria. For example, I have known of meetings where they only wanted a woman speaker for whatever reason, or they only wanted a man to speak, or they wanted somebody with a PhD, or they wanted someone with specific industry expertise, which you might not have. The moment you know the criteria, you have another reason to possibly get off the phone. You see, it's not a matter of trying to sell your services. Rather, David, it's a matter of qualifying them to be worthy of your speaking or training services. So all of these questions tend to help you get off the phone as quickly as possible. Now, let's say you're making your own outbound calls. You may say, my expertise is, and in your case, David, you might talk about communication, you might talk about relationships, etc. And then you can say, is this something that fits your meeting? Now, suppose they should say to you, oh, no, not the least. Our meeting is going to be strictly about technical matters, blah, blah, blah. Who knows what they might say. And you might find out there's no point in pursuing that call. So you're asking process of elimination questions, diagnostic questions, and you aren't saying one thing about how great you are. In other words, it's not about you, it's about them. And after a while, they get the idea that you really mean to help them. You do not mean to try to push yourself into a situation where you may not fit. Rather, you want to be of use to the meeting if you can add value. Now, the next point you want to cover is your fee. because they have a very good idea of the total budget for that conference, that meeting, that convention. And when you say that your fee range is, and I'll make up a couple of numbers here, from $4,000 to $8,000, depending on how much customizing it's appropriate to do for this group, is this fee range within your budget? Now, it is or is not. Now, one of my clients, Steve Yastro, he gets from $8,000 to $12,000 for an hour. So he'll say, my fee is $8,000 to $12,000. Now, if that number sounds much too high for that meeting, that decision maker, he gets off the phone fast. On the other hand, it may be that they only want a speaker, let's say in the $10,000 range. Anyone less than that can't be good enough for their group. And so you're immediately qualifying them regarding whether your fee range, your topic, is appropriate for the meeting.
When you're on the phone with a decision maker and you're asking if your expertise would be appropriate for their meeting, and if it is a technical kind of organization and meeting, they might say no. But I like the suggestion that you gave me, which is to suggest a change of pace program.
Oh, yes.
And I never heard of that term before, but it makes a lot of sense that if they're having a technical meeting, wouldn't you like to bring in somebody that would break it up with another on another topic that might be of value?
Absolutely, David.
So, Bert, I'm honestly kind of blown away that you're just giving away very, very specifically the exact resources we need to identify these organizations, the exact questions that we need to ask to, you know, when we get them on the phone. Like, you know, wow. Thank you.
From David, I've been in this business, national speaking, since 1982. The fall of 82 was my first national program. And I've been in that level or international ever since. So if I haven't learned how to do it, something's wrong.
Well, your approach just seems masterful. You're not pushing, you're not selling, you're qualifying. It's a diagnostic interview. You want to get off the phone as soon as possible. And the person on the other end of the phone is going to get the impression that, you know, you care about delivering value and you care about a good fit. You're not necessarily calling to sell something.
Exactly.
I really like that approach. Okay, what's next?
The next thing you ask, what is the theme of this meeting? And all meetings have themes. There's no such thing as a meeting without a theme. And they tell you what the theme is, whatever it may be, and then you ask, why this theme? And you let them talk. They tell you something about the underlying motivation for that theme. Then you ask them, and by the way, you make careful notes. I have an instrument on which all the answers can be carefully recorded. What is the purpose of this meeting? A meeting has a theme, and a meeting has a purpose. And they will tell you the purpose. They know all of these answers, by the way. That was all decided months and months ago. Now, once they told you that, you ask, how do you want your attendees to feel when this meeting is over? And as they respond to questions like these last three and the few more coming up, they get to feel more and more comfortable with you or with your telemarketer, as the case may be. They get to feel this person really cares. This person wants to know exactly whether he or she will fit. The next question, what actions do you want your attendees to take after this meeting? And they know all of these answers, and they love showing you how much they know. It makes them feel good to tell you these answers because they've studied these and they've heard about these in meetings within the organization. Then a very interesting question. In order for me to fully understand your needs, Mr. Meeting Planner, or Ms. Meeting Planner, and to see if I'm really the right person for you, do you mind if I ask you a few more questions? And they just about never mind. But in case they're harassed and have to get off for some reason, this is a good chance to let them off the phone and get back together with them just in case. Now you ask them, what are the five biggest challenges facing your organization now? So they tell you and they rattle them off. They don't know this, but they're actually writing your program for you. Because all the information they're giving you, which you are noting down, will build into your presentation customized for them. And then they'll be amazed at how well you understand the organization. Many times when I've given a program for a national organization, after the program, someone will come up to me and ask, how long have you worked for General Motors or whatever the name of the company may be? Because I speak like an insider. I really know. So if they told me the biggest challenges facing their company or association, then I will ask, what are the five biggest challenges facing your industry? And believe me, they know the answers. They know where all the headaches are. Then I will, and I'm making notes all the time. But remember, I'm letting them do a lot of the talking, more than I. Then I ask, what are the five biggest challenges facing the people who will attend this meeting? What's going on inside the company? And they'll tell me that. So then I summarize with them to be sure I understand, these are the issues, these are the topics, these are the challenges. Do I have that right? Now, how many people do you expect to attend this meeting? And they tell you, who are these people? You want to know whether you're going to be talking to senior executives, to middle managers, to supervisors, to frontline people, to staff people, to salespeople. You want to know who the audience is to be. That done, you reconfirm the meeting dates. Because often the directories will announce the meeting date and location as they understand it is to be months and months ahead, and then they change their mind. I once showed up in Texarkana, Texas, to attend a program in a hotel. I got to the hotel, and the ashes were still hot. The hotel had burnt to the ground. It wasn't there anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So obviously, it took some fast footwork to find that the company had indeed engaged another property nearby. And I found them, and I showed up there, and I got a room, and the next day I presented the program. So you just never know.
Yeah, I like your story of showing up in one town only to find out that it was really in another town in another state.
You want to hear that story? I can tell it for the folks.
Yeah, just for...
All right, well, I was working for a seminar company way, way back. This is 1982. I remember it vividly. And they would give me my... I was doing all-day seminars, full days on managing people, doing about four such programs a week, sometimes five, a full day. And let me tell you, that's hard work. That's hard physical work, getting to another city every day. Well, anyway, among the cities they gave me, they would give me city names. So they gave me Burlington. And I had a copy, as all people who travel speaking have to have, of what is called colloquially the OAG, the Official Airline Guide. And I looked up in the Official Airline Guide, and there was only one Burlington. So I would call my travel agent weeks ahead and say, on Monday I want you to get me to this city, Tuesday to that city, Wednesday that city, and then she would send me a sheaf of tickets, and I would have the tickets, and of course they were all really paid for by the company. So one night, I arrived about 10 o'clock at night after a long flight in Burlington, Vermont, the only Burlington in the Official Airline Guide. And I called up the Howard Johnson to find out if they had transportation from the airport. Well, I should change that. I tried to call up. You see, I discovered that this Howard Johnson had the wrong area code. And it didn't take me long to figure out. They didn't have the wrong area code. I was in the wrong area code.
Yeah.
I started to sweat. They said, first of all, our hotel is full. Secondly, we're not having a meeting. We never heard of your organization. Well, now it's 10 o'clock at night. Burlington, Vermont has no flights going out anywhere after 10 at night. And I knew there was nothing I could do but find a roof to get underneath and see what I could do about getting to the right place the next morning. So they got me a room at the Ramada Inn, and I showed up in the Ramada Inn and immediately got on the phone, called the person who organizes these meetings, and said, where is this meeting? And she told me, and it was in another state. I've got to show up in 14 hours in another state to present a meeting. So I was up most of the night. I found out that Air Vermont did have a 6 a.m. flight out. And I got up very, very early in the morning, got on the flight, managed to get to the correct city by 8 in the morning because it was only about 100 miles away. I was lucky. It was in Massachusetts, Burlington, Mass. Could have been Burlington, Illinois. Could have been big trouble. And, you know, that day, on just about 2 hours sleep, I had one of the best programs I've ever done, working on adrenaline, David. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I love that story.
Well, it's a true story, believe me. I lived it.
So the pitfalls of being a speaker.
Having adventures like that is you can tell that story for the rest of your life because it's your story.
Yeah.
to reconfirm the meeting dates. Want to make sure they haven't changed. And the location. Then a few more questions. All diagnostic. What ideas do you want sold to your attendees? And remember, that meeting planner might have her own agenda. And she'll say, I want to da-da-da-da. Then, what is your overall objective for this meeting? See, meeting planners, like good sailors, one hand for yourself, one for the ship. They're interested in their own career. They want to look good because they bring you in. And so by asking what they want, you let them know that you're in their corner all the way. Then you can ask, what do you want the speakers you hire to do for you? And then you can ask, and of course you wait for answers, if I were to be so fortunate as to serve your group at this meeting, what would you want to happen as a result? And you're writing things down. Then here's a good one. What would cause you to say, wow, that's just what I wanted? And then finally you'll get to the point, after having made all your notes, where you can say the following. As I understand it, your three major concerns are, and you name them, whatever they may be. And then here's a wonderful phrase. Here are the steps I will take to earn the right to be considered as a speaker for you. I'll send you whatever materials you may want. Now, that line changes now. Now it's on the website. You don't have to send anything. And I want you to know that what you see on my website will be generic information, because I will slant this presentation to fit your group, your intention, and the effect you want this presentation to have on your people. Well, briefly, David, I've given you a summation of the nature of the diagnostic interview, which leaves that person feeling you really care, and you have the strongest likelihood of being selected to speak, because they'll feel that you really understand them.
Excellent, Bert. So what's the third pillar?
The third pillar has, I've given it two names. The printed name on the instrument is the Speaking Business Success Tool. And by the way, my clients get these enclosed in acetate so they can reproduce them on the copy machine endless numbers of times and having a perfect master all the time. I really call it myself the Tenacity Tool, because the amazing power in the instrument is invisible to the eye. It's released only when you include all the teeth in it. Now, the teeth, of course, are graphic teeth. They're not real teeth. And it's hard for me on the phone to explain every part of the instrument, but it's based on what I learned from Ralph Hunt well over 20 years ago about engaging all of my power, keeping a record of everything that I do, knowing the value that it has for me and the value for others. That's what allowed me, in the early 1980s, to rocket from obscurity to six-figure success in the speaking business. And, of course, now I educate my clients to do this. And in the program, which you probably tell the folks about, the triple play, the triple sales of your speaking training gigs, all of it is in there in detail. Everything I have just shared with you is part of that program, just so you know that. And while it costs real money, however, the results it brings about are so substantial that the cost becomes insignificant. I have a few clients earning as much as $10,000 to $12,000 a week, and some of them will earn that much a month. Now, for ordinary mortals, that may sound like a fantastic figure, absolutely impossible to earn. Well, let me tell you, I've been doing it for a long, long time. I know dozens, if not hundreds, of people who are doing it. I promise you, it's a whole new life that you're able to live when you do this way.
You know, Bert, I know the value of the triple play because I've been working with it and you've been mentoring me. And I'm imagining that folks that are listening to you, that have listened to the previous two programs as well, have been grateful for the very, very specific valuable information you've been sharing with us on this free program. And if they're getting it for free, then why should they pay? Why should they buy your products? Why should they work with you if they get all this information for free?
Because they're going to forget everything I said within a couple of days. And even if they don't, even if our listeners don't forget everything I said, they're going to say, how do I organize this? How do I do this? How do I put it together? Well, you see, I've created 7 CDs, each one approximately 77 minutes. I guess that's somewhere close to 500 minutes of detailed education, line by line, together with the instruments that it takes, together with, oh, I don't know, 40 or 50 pages in a manual that I created, explaining exactly what to do and how to do it. Far, far more than we could possibly cover in an hour or so.
Yeah, I know. It's one thing to know what the steps are and to hear them described. One thing that I've found really helpful is that you've actually provided the forms.
Exactly.
You know, the structure that's needed to implement those steps.
Exactly.
That you can get all this information and then you sit down at your desk and say, oh boy, I'm going to be a professional speaker and get paid for it. Okay, what do I do? Where do I start? What's the next step? And so that's why I've been grateful to be your client, because for me, I need a bit more than just your CDs and your manuals. I need you to walk me through it. I need you to hold my hand. And actually, as a coach, I believe that most people are that way. You know, nobody's successful alone. So, Bert, let me ask you a flat-out question.
Yeah.
Do you think that anybody, I'm just going to make this general statement, anybody could just listen to the information on these seminars and just implement it successfully?
Under the following conditions.
Okay, what are they?
If they have bulldog blood. Now, let me tell you the nature of a bulldog. I'll make up a scenario. The bulldog is not seen very much in the United States. You see a few. It's a favorite dog in England. Well, let's say you have a bulldog, and a malfaiteur, that's the French word for someone who's up to no good, starts walking up your driveway, and the bulldog can just tell by the smell of this person is up to no good. And the bulldog bites the person's ankle, and those teeth sink in. And we'll say this person really is a bad guy, and he has a knife. He takes out the knife, and he kills the dog. That dog now, in the story I'm telling you, is dead. Dead. But the teeth don't let go. That bulldog hangs on in death. You can't get that teeth off the ankle. They have to get something called the jaws of life to pry the teeth of that dead dog out of your ankle. By that time, the police come and they catch the guy. That is the kind of tenacity it takes to make it in this business. I do not want it to look easy. It is not like rolling off a log. Most people don't succeed in the speaking business. I know that. The ones that do succeed are the people that have tenacity. The people that have, as I like to say, David, bulldog blood. They simply will not give up. Now, together with tenacity, it helps a lot to know what your principles and values are and to be a model of those principles and values as you do what you do. Because the people who sit before you, what do they want from you more than anything else? They want hope. They want to feel they have a chance. And you become, when you stand before that audience, David, a model of the possible. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Your qualities of character show through. The audience sees you, in a psychological sense, unclothed. You don't fool an audience. So if you bring quality of character to the forum, a deep understanding of and an empathy for the human condition, plus an understanding of the industry, the company, of the people and what's going on within them, and a sense of caring, and I can dare also say love, and an absolute resolve to surrender to your possibilities to help these people solve their problems and live a better life and be more productive. All of that, it's such people as the ones I've just described. That includes you and me, David. We know this. These are the people that move on to great success.
So if you are listening and you are serious about being an expert who speaks and being paid for speaking, which is completely doable, but requires the tools to do it, Bert has the tools, and you're going to have to pay for them. That's the bad news. The good news is that he's offering us a very, very good price. Because I'm his client, because you are in my network, because I've asked him to and twisted his arm, he's offering us a very steep discount, a very good price. And for the Triple Play program, the price is $777. That's a lot of money for most of us. And Bert knows it. So he's also offering us a payment plan. 4 payments. And so all you got to do is contact him directly and he'll set it up. And the thing is, the amazing thing to me, is that he guarantees this program. It will work for you, and if it doesn't, he will give you your money back. You got to work it, you got to try, but it's guaranteed. You will get a refund if it doesn't work for you. So there's no losing here. If you want to succeed as a professional speaker, Bert is the guy. I mean, I've done my research, I've checked around, and I've worked with Bert for over a year now. Bert is the guy, trust me. And you can work with him directly, or you can just use his products, which include his forms and his workbooks and his tools that really, really do help you. They just give you the exact tools you need to make this work. The information enough isn't enough. One of my favorite sayings that I made up is, if you could get it from a book, the world's problems would be solved. And what I mean by that is books are full of information, but the information alone doesn't make a difference. We have to translate that information into action. So Bert's services and his products will help you translate this information into action. So if you're listening, it's because you are an expert and you'd like to get paid for speaking to groups. Please take advantage of this offer from Bert to get these tools and support from him at a very, very affordable cost. Now, to work directly with Bert as his client is not necessarily cheap, but it's totally worth it if you can make a living with your speaking. So, Bert, can you explain a little bit what your, you know, Diamond Club's all about and your inner circle?
Yes, I'll be more than happy to, David. I have 3 levels of mentoring relationships with my clients. I have a level I call the gold level. The initial fee, $1,547, and then $500 a month. And within 3 or 4 months, maybe, this is not a promise, you may be earning a few thousand dollars a month speaking if you are making the most of my mentoring, accepting my personal one-on-one guidance, because I talk to you one-on-one on the phone. A higher level, this is the level you are at, David, is the diamond level, where you get even more of me. You get several days with me a year, personal days. I mean access to several days with me a year. 3 days in Sedona, Arizona in the summertime, 3 days in Orlando, Florida in the wintertime. And you get my commitment to you to give you everything possible so that if you bring to the table a willingness to work, a talent for a topic, whatever the topic may be, and in your case, David, it's communications and relationships. That may be a topic that other people on this call have, too. I might say there's a higher level yet, the Diamond Plus level, and that involves, among other things, more time with me and a meeting every spring and every fall in Suite 31F of the Waldorf Towers in New York City. That's very special. It's palatial. Right underneath the presidential suite. Really, it's an elegant place, too. To be inspired and motivated and to learn more. So in brief, the people who have the qualities of character, diligence, resolve, personal values and principles, and a strong desire to help this world be a better place, these are the people I can help, and some of these people are earning as much as $500,000 and more. It's just nothing special at all to be earning $10,000 a month. That's 3 bookings a month. Nothing. Believe me, I know it. I did it for so many years, and I know anyone can do it. So I think that's a brief summation, David. And if someone wants to talk to me about it, I know you'll tell them my phone number, David, and make it possible.
Why don't you go ahead and give us your phone number right now?
All right. It is 800-800-321-1225. And that number is good all over North America. 800-321-1225. From overseas, the 800 number won't work. From overseas, 928-753-7546. 928-753-7546. And for the overseas people, we can talk over the internet with a telephone system called Skype, S-K-Y-P-E. It costs you nothing to talk to me from any part of the world.
And Bert, you have an offer that if people buy your products and then they decide they want to work with you, you'll apply the cost of the products towards your fee.
My minimum fee is $1,547 up to $2,547. And if you buy up to $1,500 in product and then want me to be your mentor, and we agree that you qualify for my mentoring, I don't accept everyone, then I apply that $1,500 you spent on product directly to the initial fee for your mentoring with me. You get double value.
Right. There it is.
Nice guy, David.
You are. I know that. So the $1,500, that's an initial fee to get started. That's not the monthly cost, right?
No. The monthly cost is between $500 and $750, depending on what level you're at. So it becomes insignificant when you start to get a few $1,000s a month in bookings.
Right. So I would encourage folks to at least, you know, try one or more of Bert's products that we've been talking about. The boot camp, the presentation magic, how to create a great program manual, and especially the triple play. I mean, you know, this is, you know, how to get booked, how to get paid. You know, there's nothing more important than that. And if you like what you see or you need more help with it, then contact Bert and work with him. You know, I'm doing this program with Bert because, you know, I just think he is the best speaking mentor around. I've experienced that for myself. It's not cheap, but it works. And if this can help you get your business to the next level like it's doing for mine, it is totally worth it.
But as I have listened to this and with the other work that I'm doing, I'm just sort of at the beginning of stages, and I see that I have a lot of groundwork to lay in before I get to this place, and I'd still like to take advantage of your offer, Bert. Is it okay to purchase it now and then get back with you when I've got my ducks in a row, so to speak?
Yes.
Okay, I'm really a newbie at this. I've done teleclasses, but I've never really, and I've done trial work, but I really have never done speaking in front of a group. And I this is really fascinating to me. And my question is, how do I begin when I have no experience in this realm at all?
The same way I began, I gave free talks, service clubs in town. I'd go to the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And ask for their list of service clubs. There will be men's service clubs. There will be women's service clubs. They have breakfast meetings. They have luncheon meetings. And some of the women's groups have dinner meetings.
Uh-huh.
Now, the organizations such as Rotary, Kiwanis, Optimists, and so many more need 52 free speakers a year. They give you 20 minutes, whether at breakfast or lunch, and you do get a breakfast or a lunch. They don't pay you. And they give you 20 minutes to show your stuff. So what you do is you write the best 20 minutes you can, that you compose, I should say, the first 20 minutes you can, and deliver it at no cost.
Okay.
And thus you attain what in airplane flying, pilots call this stick time. Time on the platform. Time experiencing what it's like to address a group.
Uh-huh.
And gradually you get better and better. That is how I started.
The thing is, we all speak. You know, we've all spoken to a client. We've all spoken to a family. We've all spoken to a small group. So we all speak. So the question here, and the reason that I sought Bert out in the first place, was for platform skills. So Bert helped me make the transition from being an expert who speaks to being somebody who can shine on the platform, you know what you're doing on the platform, you know. There's really no substitute for a little bit of mentoring in that. I really do believe nobody is successful alone. If you want to be a good speaker in front of a large group of people, do you really think you're going to do that all by yourself without any mentoring? You know, that's why we have Bert.
And I guess my question for you, Bert, here then is, if I'm at the stage where I'm at, am I ready to use your materials? Is it too premature for me? Do I need to get a little more experience under my belt before I do that? Or on the other hand, no, maybe this will jumpstart me.
This will jumpstart you. There's no question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Like Bert, if somebody is like new to speaking, You know, are they ready to work with you?
Yes. They're ready if they feel they're ready. And if they have, I repeat this, I've said it earlier, the qualities of character. If they are diligent, if they are real, a real human being, if they bring presence to the platform, bring caring and empathy to the platform, be willing to do research to learn what needs to be learned, and of course I teach you how to do this stuff, so that you can give the maximum value to the audience. And the best example of that is the past hour and 10 minutes. You've been getting, I do pray, maximum value.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not something by accident. I've had many years to develop these skills, and I show you how to do it. I hold you by the hand, one might say metaphorically. I'm not going to come to St. Louis to hold you by the hand. Don't misinterpret that.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that.
No. No, we do it on the phone, baby.
I'll take you to lunch.
No. Thank you very
dinner.
Much. No, we do it on the phone.
I know.
And I show you what it takes, and I've taken clients from Nowheresville to six-figure success. And if I can do it for others, I can do it for you.
Great. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You've been on every one of these calls, haven't you?
Oh, I have. I think you are. I have taken a number of speaking classes, and without doubt, these three calls are the best I've ever heard.
Thank you.
This has been three of the most valuable free seminars that I've ever been part of. And what I think would be very cool would be for you to tell Bert to share with him one thing you learned that will make a difference for you. Bert has given us a gift. Let's give him a gift and give him some acknowledgement. Give him some appreciation. What have you gotten from this program that will make a difference for you?
One of the biggest things that I got from this program was how to speak to the event planner or whoever it is that does, you know, the booking. I think that scripting was absolutely fabulous because I would never, ever have known to do that if I hadn't heard you say it.
Thank you.
So
right.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, yeah, that's a tremendous gift.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. And doing the qualitative questionnaire with the person who gets you for your speaking engagement is a great mindset.
Yeah.
It's doable. I mean, there actually is a way that you can do this.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, Bert's showing us the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I got from you that just to take action, you can just step into it and just start where you are.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to thank you for the same quality of presence and character that you say this type of career needs or is deemed worthy. You bring that so clearly to the table, and it's been great these 3 days to experience somebody that has that wisdom, because I hope to aspire to that myself. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Every piece of this has been excellent.
Really, so many things that I've learned in this presentation and the kind of step-by-step that you've taken us through. You know, next week I'm going to turn it all back on and go back through it again, because I know there's a lot that I've missed.
Thank you for being such a complete inspiration.
What I really, really appreciate about what you've done, Bert, is that you've demystified a lot of the elements and parts of all of the steps.
One of the things that I found really, really valuable, and it's going to be usable in many situations, is what to give your audience in the first 3 minutes. It just is so practical and hands-on, and it works in a wide variety of situations.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the gifts you've given us. It's been tremendous. You have just shared wisdom and tips and tricks far beyond what I expected when I set up this seminar series with you. It's quite a gift to the people in my network. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What I'd like people to know that are listening is that if they go to buildingyouridealpractice.com/speakingbiz.html, that they will be able to listen to the recordings, download the recordings. There are graphics and descriptions of some of your products that will be helpful for them to become a success in the speaking business. If they click on any one of those, they'll go to your website and be able to read more about them. The entire description isn't on my website. It's just giving them enough information to go to your website. And when they're on your website, please do sign up for Bert's 7-part e-program. Thanks for joining us, everybody.